and teach a little bit on sin. Two types of sin. Let's pray. Let's pray before we get started here. Brother Mike, you want to pray for me?
Sure. Lord, we thank you, God, tonight for the opportunity to be in your house. We pray, God, you'd help my brother now as he preaches. I pray that you'd help each soul as they listen. God, open our ears, open our understanding. God. We'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Two types of sin. I want to talk about a sin of omission. It's a failure to do something that you're able and should do. And that's the sin that's easiest for us to hide. Then there's the sin of commission. It's doing what we shouldn't do, period. And we know better. Sin of omission, in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about, let's just turn there real quick because I don't want to jumble this thing up. Romans chapter 7. Am I in the right place? Hold on a minute. Yeah, Romans chapter 7. Verse 15, we'll start with verse 14. It says, For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And Paul said he knew what he was supposed to be doing. And I'm sure there's everyone here in this room tonight knows something that they should be doing or not.
Yeah.
Every one of us. Something we should be doing and we're not.
Amen.
And it's so easy to hide that. You can hide it from the church. You can hide it from the preacher. Amen. You can hide it from me. But you can't hide it from God.
Amen.
Something that we need to try to change in our lives. Things that we know that we should be doing. I mean, just something as simple, and there's folks at home right now, something as simple as you knowing you're supposed to be in church and you're not there.
Amen.
Something as simple as praying over your meal and you don't do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Just little simple things like that we're supposed to be doing. And you know, if we can't do the simple things, how are we going to do the hard things?
That's right.
Sin of commission in James 4:17, it talks about, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth not, to him it's sin.
Yep.
Sin of commission is doing things that you want to do, whether God appreciates it or not.
Amen.
And boy, there's a lot more of us doing that than are doing not doing the other.
Right. Amen,
brother. It's just life. Just things of life get us down, and we let it work on us. I wanted to tell you a little story tonight, and I probably told this story here before, 15, 20 years ago maybe. I haven't told it recently, so maybe those of you that are here never heard it before, and some of you never wasn't even here then. But there was a family, and this family was in my, not my family, but in my immediate family. It was a mother, a father, two sons and three daughters. And the father was just a flat-out alcoholic, just a drunk. He would go off sometimes and be gone for two or three weeks on binges. And he'd come back home. And my aunt would take him back every time. But the lessons that he taught his children were terrible.
Yeah.
He had two daughters who were topless go-go dancers down here at Dover. He had one son that was paralyzed from the shoulders down in an automobile accident, drinking and driving drugs. One of his other sons was an avid drug user. He had a grandson that wound up at Smyrna Prison for running over a kid on a bicycle in Marydale, drunk and driving. Our children learn from us. They learn, you know, and they pick up on the sin things quicker than anything else.
Amen.
We got to be careful. We got to be careful with what we're teaching our kids. I want to read a few different things here, and and move on. But okay. I want to say this. There's a difference between a conviction and a commandment. Difference. If you're a born again child of God, you need to know the difference.
Amen.
I done lost my page here in Ezekiel. Chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying that the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul of the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and have not eaten upon the mountain, neither have lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither have defiled his neighbor's wife, neither have come near a mistress woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments. He deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith Lord God. If he begat a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled the neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, and hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he begot a son that seeth all the father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountain, and neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, and the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withheld at the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that hath not received usury, nor increased, hath executed by my judgment, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for his iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Folks, we don't have to follow the examples of the ungodly just because they're in a place of our superiority.
Yeah.
We need to follow God's rules and God's way in our life to keep our things straight. It doesn't matter if you did right all your life and your child messed up. That child is responsible for itself. There's so many parents in this world today are feeling guilty because of the way their children are, and they raised them right.
Yep, yep.
We have to be careful with that. We need to be careful that we don't pay so much attention to one child that we lose them all. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience. We raised four, One spent 5 years in jail for attempted robbery with a broken BB gun. Wouldn't listen. Sometimes they got to find out the hard way. We need to quit enabling them. Let them learn. That father I told you about was my uncle, and the lady was my aunt, and the children were my cousins. And a few of those cousins had been in this church at one time or another. Four of them are gone now. There's only two left. And both of them are on drugs. I'm talking about 70-year-old people. Yep. Not talking about kids. 70-year-old people. Because they seen the way their father was, they thought they should be that way too. Your children see how you are. They want to be that way too. How are you living tonight? How are you living?
Amen, brother. Amen.
The difference between a conviction and a commandment, and if you are a born-again child of God, you need to know the difference. Conviction, the act of being convicted, convinced to cause to be believed without doubt. That's a conviction. Commandment, an order of a higher authority, God or superior officer. It's a commandment, folks, not a suggestion.
That's right.
Romans 6:14. Turn to Romans. Romans 6:14. Says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. But then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. God didn't save us to give us a license to sin.
That's right.
There's a lot of folks out there right now. I know there's a lot of people out in the world right now that used to go to this church.
Yeah.
And sadly to say that we, some of us in the church, ran some of those folks off. And we ran them off with our convictions. We ran them off with our convictions. Everybody's conviction is not the same as the other person.
Amen. Amen.
But was it a conviction or a commandment? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You have a desire to be more like Christ. That should be our desire.
Amen.
Our desire should be to be more like Christ.
Amen, bro.
Every day. More like him every day. He said he didn't come to he came to fulfill the law, to obey. Are you obeying? Am I obeying? Are we obeying the law or the commandment of God? Probably not. Do we need to try? Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. I know a lot of folks that did a lot of things in this world And because they failed the first time they tried, they didn't do it anymore. They didn't try it anymore. If us folks in this room did that with Jesus, there wouldn't be nobody following him. When we fail, we need to get back up, brush off our knees, and go again. Amen. Go again. I want to try to explain the difference between a commandment and a conviction. I personally, in my short time on this planet, have seen Christians destroyed and ran off more people in the church, saved and unsaved, than just a few. With their convictions. Here's one for you. Old friends. God has not convicted me about my old friends, about who I hang out with or around and fellowship with. So I'm okay with my old friends. This Christian is either ignorant, newborn, or just flat out disobeying God. That's not a conviction. That's a commandment. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with them, with the unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what cord hath conquered had Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. Who you pal around with, God's commanding you to stay away if they're not living for him.
That's right.
The Bible clearly says here that we should not hang out with or around and fellowship with the sinners. That we shouldn't have anything common with them. Now here, God's speaking about a lost sinner. Now look at 1 Corinthians 5. Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. Brother Ken talked about this the other night a little bit. A brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. We have to be careful who we're inviting over for dinner, who we're taking out to Hardee's, who we're going down to Chick-fil-A with. We got to be careful about that. That's not a conviction. That's a commandment. God said, no, no.
Yeah.
No, no. That's a no-no. Don't do that.
Amen, bro.
Don't do that. For what have I to do to judge them all that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Here's Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And it's telling them that they should not hang out with or fellowship with saved that are living like hell.
That's right.
I know the Bible has some things to say about judging, We don't need a judge, but we can let God's word judge for us. Amen. And that's for our use, to be able to tell what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
The Bible says that fornication is sin, not Howard Coleman,
Amen.
Not Alan Ryman, not Michael Easter, the Bible. The Bible says that. The Bible says it's sin to worship idols or to steal or lie or to covet or to curse or to defile the temple of God, your very own body, with drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, eating too much, and the list goes on. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, nor not which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are ye light in the word, in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship," here you go again, "have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them." Brother Ken was talking about that the other night. If we see a brother that's doing something wrong and we think we can help him, if we can't help him, then maybe we need to get the pastor or associate pastor involved in it. But we need to try. Our job is to try to restore that person. My wife and I was in the foster care program for about 20 years, and we had taken in over 32 kids. And our job was to restore those kids and families back together.
Amen.
It's not always easy.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be a picnic. It's not always going to be fun.
Yeah.
But it's needful.
Mm-hmm.
It's needful.
Amen.
I mean, some of the biggest war casualties in the war were shot by their own people. It shouldn't be that way in our church. You got a brother that's hurting, out, down, something going on, we need to go help him.
Amen.
We need to go help him. I know a lot of young people that were in this church are not here now. And a few of them I even talked to, and nobody's even come to say, "Hey, where you been, or what's going on, how come you ain't even around," or nothing. Ain't said nothing. And they've been gone for months. We need to help one another, folks.
Amen,
we need to lift each other up.
Amen.
I want to talk to you a little bit about conviction about dress code. God has not convicted me about my dress or my appearance, so I'm okay for now. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9. It says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with bordered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, modest apparel. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 3 and 4. Well, we'll go ahead and start with 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. While ye behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corrupted, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Inward beauty. It's what's in the heart. It's what's in your heart. You'd be surprised the people that you wouldn't speak to because you thought they were ugly. Christians, yeah. But after you have a conversation with them for a couple of minutes, you realize, man, they're one of the sweetest people you could ever meet.
Yeah.
It's what's in the heart.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 14 and 15. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Convictions, folks. They do come upon us about things, some things, like what's your idea of modest dress? This is a good question. Well, I know that it's a commandment for women to dress modestly, but is your idea of modest the same as the one next to you? Is your idea of a modest dress below the knee, halfway down the shin, or to the floor? That becomes a conviction. That's not a commandment. The commandment is to be indecent. Being decent, looking decent. The same with the men's hair. What do you call that? I mean, what do you call a men's short hair? I mean, it could be a number of things. Should the hair be a certain length? Should it be to your collar? Just above the collar? A crew cut? A shaved head? Those things become convictions. The commandment is that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. All the things that I mentioned there, to the collar and up, I don't consider long, but I mean, who am I? If it gets down below the collar, I think you got an issue. Especially if you're a Christian and you claim to know the Bible.
Amen.
You may not always get a conviction about things, but what's important to God is a commandment.
Yeah.
Talk about habits. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
That's good, brother.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. So know ye not that you are the temple of God?
Yeah.
And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
That's right.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Mm-hmm. You know what? Pastor Ryman and myself as well have planted probably hundreds of folks under the age of 30 that claim to be Christians. Defile the temple of God. You're the temple of God. Defile the temple of God, and he will destroy you. He said they destroyed herself. No, they didn't destroy themselves. God destroyed them. But they just give him a reason. Are you bought with a price? You're not your own, but we belong to God.
That's right.
God says he will destroy you for defiling his temple.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 6.
You're right there, brother.
Verse 19 and 20 says, what, know ye not that your bodies is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. You no longer belong to you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to pay your debt.
Amen.
For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's pretty simple, cut and dry. The Lord says, you destroy my temple, I will destroy you. You see, it doesn't seem to require a conviction here to give up your junk, but rather a commandment.
Amen.
The Lord says, don't start it. You don't have to stop it.
That's right.
But if you've already started it, you better give it up.
Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, don't chase someone out of the church over your convictions. But rather pray for that person in genuine love. For the heart is your problem, a conviction, or a commandment.
Amen, brother.
That's all I have, brother.